By golly, we're going to start on time.
No, oh, my God.
Did we get water for everybody?
Yes.
Yep. Good.
Yes.
We are irrigated.
We are irrigated.
And lubricated.
All right.
Hello, and welcome to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. Today's episode brought to you by The Big Bang.
Boom.
Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, from the No God Band, the Inner Tubes, and our other award-winning podcast, Ardent Atheist. Yeah, we won an award.
We did.
You can find links to our guest website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium 90-minute full-length episodes, and our email at skepticallyyours.net.
If you'd like to take part in a live chat moderated by the author of the blog, Comedy Obscura, Joe Swam, go to skepticallyyours.net/live and chat us up right now.
You almost said
cool. I know.
And please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast for free, write a review, help us get up there in the top 10 where you've never gotten us. You may also go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe to our premium ad-free content for a measly $10 per year.
Subscribe now or I'll stab you with acupuncture needles. I'll ear candle you to death.
Ear candle?
I'll give you a colon cleansing you'll never forget.
Honey, no.
Why? What's the harm?
What's the harm? You could actually hurt somebody.
Okay, then. If they don't subscribe, I'll swallow a whole bottle of homeopathic sleeping pills.
Oh, okay, you can do that.
Thank you. If you're a listener who's ever been duped by anything that's been debunked on Snopes, welcome, your ordeal is over.
We're coming to you live from E&H Studios in sunny Studio City, California at nighttime. In the Studio City tonight, we have Tim Farley, eventually Jimmy Dore, and Ed Shannon. You know these folks from the world of reason.
And showbiz.
And showbiz.
Yeah.
Thanks for being here, everybody.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Tim Farley, you came a long way.
I did come a long way, all the way across the country.
Yeah? You were down at the Orange County event. What was the name of it?
I was. The Orange County Freethought Alliance Conference.
There you go.
A lot of cool people were there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know Ryan Bell was down there.
Ryan Bell was there.
And then what's the gentleman's name from the Atheist Experience? Do you know his name?
Russell Glasser.
Russell Glasser, yeah. Yep.
And, wow, how'd you do that? It's like you were reading each other's minds.
We were.
Yeah. Cool.
No, we weren't.
He was at the Memphis American Atheist Convention in Memphis.
Yeah, he was talking about it when we were there, yeah. And we had Seth Andrews,
yes.
Thinking Atheist,
oh, yeah.
And
yes.
A bunch of other great people.
Cool, cool. Well, that's good.
What did you talk about?
Yeah, yeah.
I talked about internet stuff. I'm always nerding it out. About how to use Facebook right. And
is there a right way?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. Stop linking to bad stuff.
Yeah.
Basically what I was saying. You know, you post these things and say, hey, look at this horrible article in the Daily Mail, and you don't realize that by posting it, you actually make it multiply.
Bigger. Yeah.
Someone just sent me a lot of people send me links to post because maybe they don't want to post it on their page. They say, oh, I know Heather will post this.
Right.
So they'll email me the little link. And someone recently sent me something that was a 13-year-old girl got pregnant and her mother believed that it was the baby Jesus that God had impregnated her.
Oh, wow.
And this is going around. This is viral.
Yeah.
And I looked at it and I tried to find the source and I tried to figure out what the website was about, and a website posts viral news, but it's not necessarily a hoax site. It just reposts all the bad stuff too.
Yeah.
So I said to him, "I don't think this is a real thing." And then he went to Snopes, and it wasn't.
Right.
He found it on Snopes.com.
Yeah, you got to do a little digging.
I'm guilty of it too.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's so sensational that you're just like, "I can't believe this is happening." Post.
Yeah. Too good to check is what they say.
Too good to check. I've been guilty of that many times, and I just take it down. And then when I see someone else posting it, I post, "This is fake. Don't take it down." You know.
Well, there's a whole one of the things I talked about is there's a whole class of sites now that are just basically unfunny onions.
Satire.
Right.
Yes.
They claim to be satire.
Shatire.
Yeah. Satire.
They're not even. It's just fake news. It's not even
fake news
funny.
Sites. And all they're looking for is the clicks. They just want the clicks and run a few ads.
The one that got me was they were going to do another season of Breaking Bad. That's the one that got me.
Yeah.
And because it was so serious and, you know, I didn't even check the sources. I was like, yes! Why would anyone lie about that?
I got excited, too.
And I know the people who make the goddamn show. And I'm like, what the? How did I get sucked in?
You could have picked up a phone and debunked that in 10 seconds.
But why? Well, why would someone write that? Just to fuck up everyone who loves that show?
It's all about the clicks, baby.
That's it. That is the why, right?
Yeah, that is the why. They're just trying to get you to see those ads that are around the edges of that story. That's all they're doing.
Greed.
Another one of those sites that I really hate and I sometimes get sucked into is when they'll say, 10 reasons why such and such did such and such, or and then you go on there and it's reason one and it has it, and it's like click next for reason two, so you have to click,
because guess what, when you click a whole nother set of ads gets shown around outside.
And so whenever I see that now I just don't even bother reading it because I don't feel like going through all that. Just listen.
There's
the
no
damn
fixing
thing.
This problem.
No,
there
it's
really
gonna get worse,
right, Tim?
Well, there may be. Facebook seems to be interested in fixing it, and they've done some things in their algorithm so that those sites don't show up as prominently. And I've noticed, actually, I have a file that I collect the URLs of some of these sites, and I was gathering some screenshots for my presentation yesterday, and I noticed a few of the URLs, they're gone.
Oh, really?
Yeah, these are sites that I saw like months ago, and already the site has been taken offline.
So,
because I guess they're, the click-throughs were dropping, and it's like, all right, I'm done with this. I'll go on to my next scam.
Do browsers have the ability to allow us to, say, block everything from this particular product?
Doesn't Safari or Google have something like that?
Do you know?
Warning.
To block it at what level?
Well,
so that
I mean, if we knew that a particular set of URLs, like, if we knew that a particular set of URLs was, Shatire sites, just clickbait sites, we could start making a list that people could come, copy, put into their browser's settings, and
say...
Oh,
so you wouldn't even go there.
Well,
or if you tried to go there...
Or pop up a warning that says, this is on Tim Farley's list, and go fuck yourself.
Yeah. I think there are some plugins that will do that. Another thing you could do is use the Web of Trust as a rating system for websites. Mm-hmm. And if you personally have ranked a site badly, Web of Trust will pop up over it and say, oh, by the way, you ranked this site badly.
I see.
So you could use that yourself to remind yourself not to go back to the site if you have Web of Trust loaded.
One of my newest favorite sites is donotlink.com.
Yeah.
So that if you want to share something and show somebody something, you can paste it into donotlink.com and then put the do not link.
That was a big part of my presentation yesterday.
Yeah.
Telling people to make sure to do that.
Always do not link.
Did you see the hilarious thing where Food Babe tried to block it? The Food Babe got mad that skeptics were using Do Not Link to link to her site all the time.
Oh, my goodness.
So she made a change on her. She's a technology person by trade.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she had her webmaster make a change, and it noted, so her site, whenever a link was coming in from Do Not Link, it would go to an error page. So all the skeptic links to her site were breaking one day, right? So somebody tweets me about it and says, hey, Tim, you tell me to use Do Not Link, but it's breaking when I go to Food Babe, and I know the guy who wrote Do Not Link, so I email him and say, hey, what's going on?
Right.
He's like, oh, I can fix that. And 15 minutes later, it was undone.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. He just changed the way it was sending the information across, so her site can't tell the link is coming from him now.
That's great.
So that's the guy who runs Do Not Link.
Menno Van Enns up in Portland, I think.
So you are connected, dude.
Yeah, I know.
That's
I
pretty
know
great.
Some people.
Yeah.
Do Not Link is something that you can use as a tool when you want to show somebody a site that you don't want to click on to add to their revenue.
Right.
You take their link, you put it into a Do Not Link window, and it generates another link.
Yeah, it's like a URL shortener.
Yeah.
So instead of bit.ly or tiny URL, you end up with do not link dot something.
And so
it doesn't take any revenue away, because if you click through, they'll still be able to show their ads. But what it does is it takes the boost away.
So they don't get
boosted by Facebook.
Skeptics who are sharing, these various assholes that are out there, like, Food Babe, I wish there was some way around calling her a babe every time I refer to her.
That food lady. That food dame.
Yeah, food asshole. But there is no way around that, so you just live with it. But she plays a babe on the internet.
Yeah.
But she's not. When you want to send those out, there's a lot of value in how many people have visited their page, and you're not adding to that value.
Right.
How's that value work? I mean, what It boosts them up in the Google search, that sort of thing?
It's not so much Google as... Well, it does affect Google, but it mainly... The main thing is Facebook now. Facebook is what drives everything with news, and Facebook will decide whether or not... You don't see everything on Facebook that, you know, if you have 1,000 friends and they all post something one day, you're not going... The same day, you're not going to see all 1,000 posts. Mm-hmm. Facebook picks and chooses, and they use an algorithm to pick and choose, and the way they pick and choose... One of the things is the like count on that page. Hmm. And Do Not Link keeps the like count from going up. Because every time, and literally that count will go up every time you link to it, every time you comment on it, every time you reshare, it adds to those counts. And as those counts go up, it becomes more likely that Facebook will show that link to other people on Facebook. Not just your post, but any post that has that link in it.
When will these algorithms rise up and start killing us?
They already are.
Okay.
They already are.
That was my
word. We're dying right now.
Jimmy, you're sitting there like you haven't said a word since we started the show.
I know. Can I just ask you a quick question about... if you've already covered this, please forgive me, but I used to get a lot more...
You would know. You were sitting right there. Go ahead.
I was a little distracted. But I get a lot... I used to get a lot... I have two pages. I have a personal profile page, and then I have a fan page.
Right.
So on my fan page, I noticed that the posts I used to make there used to get a lot more views. Yeah. All of a sudden, like in the last... Two or three months, it just dropped off amazingly.
Facebook has changed the algorithm, and it's killing everybody that runs a fan page.
That's funny, because I've been getting your views. My views have gone up. Yeah. It's skyrocketing.
It's terrible.
So they've just switched the algorithm because they want you to pay to promote it.
That's what everybody believes.
Oh, yeah. It's not cheap. It's like, it used to be they would ask you for $5, and they'd give it to like 10,000 people.
You know, now Zuckerberg needs a new Tesla, man.
It's unbelievable how much they charge, right? Am I wrong? It's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is a lot of money.
It's like a billboard. It's not cheap.
You can spend a ton of money.
Yeah. Okay.
Damn.
Yeah, it sucks now to have a fan page on Facebook. Facebook is evil.
Yeah.
Facebook is the fucking worst thing in the world.
Zuckerberg is an atheist. That explains it.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
There's no surprises here.
Yeah. But I hate Facebook. It's the it brings out the worst in everyone, I think. And especially the religious and right wingers seem to really.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm just saying that because I'm not one, but
good on you for saying that. I mean, the right wingers think it brings out the worst in us. We left wingers.
Well, everyone is just sitting in their mom's basement behind a computer screen. That's really what it is. And even us, we can say whatever we want and not care about anybody's feelings because we're not looking at them face to face.
You shouldn't be able to talk to other people between masturbation bouts. That's the problem. That's just the problem, right? Right there.
What do you mean in between?
There have to be some
and during. So, whattstheharm.net is where you can find the great work of Tim Farley. Tim Farley has a website. It's been around for a long time. When did you launch it?
Yeah, like seven years ago.
Yeah. And you can find out, this is a skeptic show. You can go and you can find out what harm those things that we skeptics bitch about. Right. Has the one of the ones that jumped out at me was we've been going after psychics lately. We'll talk a little about that later in the show.
Oh!
Yeah, we have. And
I can't wait. This guy loved this show.
Thank you so much. James Von Prague. We went to his and we carried signs and he interacted with us.
No!
And that was awesome. And he's a very sweet guy.
Yes, he seems like a nice
man.
Yeah,
If he lost a few pounds, I'd blow him. But he's a very nice guy.
The Pope seems nice, too.
He does. Yeah, no.
He wears a dress.
I don't think Von Prague is as bad as the Pope, though.
I don't... The Pope does drive in a Ford Focus.
Yeah. So, what jumped out of me on your page is the psychic surgery thing, you know?
Oh, psychic surgery.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's so just an evil, evil practice.
It is. Yeah. It is. Completely
evil. We're going to talk about psychic surgery when we get back from the break, because right now it is indeed time for the break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net and available at the iTunes Store. More after this unavoidable irritation.
Good news, everyone.
Oh, yes, that's right. Good news indeed. We have a premium ad-free service. We do the show for 90 minutes, and you'll be able to listen to the live show or download the first hour for free from iTunes, as it's always been. The premium service, however, will allow you to subscribe to the full 90-minute ad-free show. It's only $10 per year. If you want to support us, please go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe. How many homeopaths does it take to change a light bulb?
How many?
0.00000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000000
charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs. But we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
0000000000.1 to change a light bulb. And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Tim Farley, Jimmy Dore, and Ed Shannon. Thank you for being here, everybody.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we were explaining during the break. Well, I was just saying zeros during the break. I was doing zeros the whole time. While you
were we were amazed at how committed you were to
I was
that.
Committed.
You didn't even
zeros.
Take a breath.
Distance. You're damn right.
You know, you could tell how funny the joke is by the level of commitment.
That's exactly right. So, yeah, homeopathic medicine, as I was telling Jimmy during the break, is just diluted water for the diluted. That's exactly what it is. There's nothing in it.
And in the beginning of the show, I said I would take a whole body of homeopathic sleeping pills. You know, I was threatening to do that. And
well, there have been activists who have done that. They make sleeping pills that are homeopathic. They claim that it'll help you sleep. But by and large, they rely on the... what's the effects? The placebo effect,
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So where if you take something and I tell you it'll make you sleepy, you get sleepy.
Yeah.
So
valerian root doesn't work?
It depends on where you're putting it.
And what's the other thing? Melatonin people would take that.
No, melatonin is proven
real,
to work.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
yeah,
there's a difference between, you know, natural medicine, remedies,
and homeopathy. See, I'm confusing the two.
And some natural
that's
remedies
what they're
don't
hoping
work
you'll
either.
Do.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, aspirin is a natural remedy. So,
is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's
yep. Very natural.
You don't have to make aspirin?
Well, they do now.
But aspirin occurs naturally?
It was made from the bark of the willow tree.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And they figured out how to reproduce that chemical in the lab so we don't have to go strip and bark.
Really?
Off. Yeah, yeah.
I'm learning things
every day.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now you know.
So, yeah, it's what Tim Farley is all about. He's letting you know what claims out there can actually harm you.
And your other website, skeptools.com.
Skeptools.
What's that one about?
That's a blog.
Sounds like
about,
us.
Yeah. Well, that's
Skeptools.
More
I'm a skeptool,
for
man.
Internet nerds who want to, like if somebody wanted to build something like Do Not Link.
Yeah,
we talk about, well, how would I go about doing that, and how would I promote it to skeptics and stuff, and then I also talk about sometimes what the bad guys do, like the food babe thing. I wrote a whole blog post about when she did that, you know, just explaining what technically she was doing on her website and why it was wrong.
Can I ask you, I think I brought this up a little bit the last time I was on the show. Can I just ask you a question because you seem to know everything that I need about skepticism.
I do not know everything.
About skepticism. But so do you believe that there is other ways of knowing things besides the ways that we, you know, the five senses? Or how many senses do we have? Five.
Five, theoretically.
Five.
Unless one of them is going to be...
Do you believe they're in a sixth sense, I guess? Or do you believe there's another way of knowing things? Because it's like intuition. Or I've known things and there's no way I could have known them. I can't say something
All
right
of
now.
The other magical senses are just functions of the brain. You know, intuition is just a function of the mind. It's just a function of your brain. You're taking information in, and you're drawing conclusions inside your mind, and some people are very good at those things.
I'm sorry, he asked Tim.
I'm sorry.
What he said.
Do you see what I mean?
Yes.
I remember when you were sitting in that chair and we were talking about psychics last time I had you on.
Yeah.
And you were like, there might be something to it, as I recall. And,
yes, that's where I'm at.
And I said, anybody can do it. Anybody can impress you with those things. And I told you your favorite color at the time.
Oh, can you tell me it again?
If I remember right, your favorite color is blue or orange.
Yes.
It's orange, right?
It was blue.
You were wearing an orange and red striped shirt the last time you heard.
No, not orange and red. It was orange and blue.
Oh, was it orange and blue?
And that's what I did.
I'm not psychic.
What I did was I picked the two colors from your shirt, and I was correct.
Okay. All right.
They were both very bright and very prominent, so that played a really... what you're wearing now, I wouldn't presume to take you to a color choice, because the backward Superman emblem is not a color choice,
right?
You know, but stripes on a shirt—that's a color choice.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Blue.
So it was very easy. So that doesn't even require intuition; it's just attention to detail.
I think I'm 100% with you guys that I think anybody who's putting themselves out there as a psychic is not. They're a phony. Like, I think James Van Praagh, all those guys that I see on TV, I like to watch him, that guy crossing over, that John Edwards guy.
We went and
that guy was such a scammer. a scammer. But all those guys, they're just like, you know, like, I think that Benny Hinn and the faith healers are scammers, but I do think that Dalai Lama believes it. Right. I don't think he's a scammer. You know what I mean? So I think there's levels, and
I think there's some of them who believe it, and some of them who are outright scamming.
Like, if you take mushrooms...
It's definitely.
Can I say something?
Yes, sir.
I don't think it matters.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I agree. I don't know.
If you believe you can drive your car drunk,
right?
Or you know you can drive your car drunk,
yeah.
Or you think you can't drive your car drunk,
right,
when you hit somebody, you're fucking people up and you're guilty. You're guilty.
If you aren't charging money, then fine.
Right.
Believe it all you want.
Yes. So let me put it this way. Like, if I have a cell phone, right? So if you look around right now, none of your senses could pick up any of the things that are in the air. But if I take out this cell phone, a smartphone, and I press a button, all of a sudden, all the information in the whole world is somehow in the air going right into my phone.
Correct.
So this thing just has a better pathway to the information that we can't see or feel or hear. So maybe there's someone because we're all energy condensed to a slow vibration, and separation is an illusion. We're not separate. We're all from the same being or the same energy.
Yeah.
Right? Big Bang.
Yeah.
So if we really are connected. So I think that there's
you have to start defining words like separate if you want to have a real conversation about these things.
Okay.
You and I are separate. We couldn't shake hands today until you walked in the house. So in that sense, we were separate.
Okay.
You and I knew each other. We met each other 10 or 15 years ago. Prior to that, we were completely unaware of each other.
Right.
And so we were more separate back then. And before I was born, we were even more separate.
Right.
So there are separations between human beings, individuals, people, minds, experiences.
Yes.
And what you just said a minute ago ignored all of that. It pretended like none of that's real and usually comes out of a marijuana bowl.
But you're like touching on the fact that we all have similarities and we all do things
kind of the same
and we all have these feelings that are similar and vibe and all that. So, I mean, I could see where you would draw from that.
Well, I'm saying there is that, but I'm not saying that right now. Okay. What I'm actually saying is that we are literally so yes, we are separate, but we're separate in a sense like the way hairs on my head are separate from each other.
Okay.
Right? Like my toe is separate from my finger, but they're all part of the same thing.
All right.
So a lot of times, you know, like I know my brother hasn't seen his dick in 6 years.
Yeah.
So that doesn't mean it's still not a part of him.
Yeah.
Right? So they're separate. Right? Because he's fat.
Yeah.
But he still has a dick and it's still a part of him. And so I think even though we haven't seen each other, we're still a part of the same being, which is if you look at Earth, a lot of people, they look at Earth as one living organism, yeah, which it is.
Okay.
And we literally came out of it, right? So if you, there's this guy named Alan Watts, he's a philosopher, and he says this. He says that if you were an alien and you came to the Earth a billion years ago or 6 billion years ago, and all you would see is rocks. And then if you came back 5 billion years later, you'd see all these people all over. You go, hey, wherever you see rocks, watch out because there's going to be fucking people.
Right. Well, that's a good example of bad mathematics.
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, if you have enough data, you wouldn't make the mistake of saying that. That's not that's not a logical.
That's like a fallacy.
But
we literally do come out of the rock. We literally come out of the
Earth. We don't literally come out of the rocks.
We'll come out of the Earth.
Okay. We don't literally come out of the Earth. We figuratively come out of the Earth.
No, literally.
Not literally. I would argue not literally, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
To suggest that we literally come out of the Earth skips so many steps in the human evolutionary process as to do a grand disservice to knowledge. Hmm. That's my problem with those ideas.
But we do literally come out of the Earth. Where do we come from?
What do you
from?
Mean?
Well,
we literally came
evolution.
From the Big Bang.
Yeah, so that, and then there was an Earth. Mm-hmm. And then there weren't people, and then there were people. But where did we come from? Nobody dropped us down.
How do you know that we came from the Earth?
Because evolutionary biology teaches that we came from single-celled organisms that started in the ocean.
How did you know that those guys came from the Earth?
Well, let me stop you there. We don't know for a fact, scientifically speaking, let's talk the science of it, we don't know for a fact how life started on this planet. It may be panspermia. In other words, microscopic things coming from outer space and landing on planets, and the planets are inhabitable, and therefore they can start to divide.
Oh, so you think like a meteor fell on Earth and
panspermia.
Some kind of biology.
Is that the right word?
Panspermia. Yeah.
So that's one explanation
that's been
it does, right? That's one explanation that's been offered, which completely undermines the "we came out of the Earth" idea.
Okay.
When you see people making these grand statements that are best understood on hallucinogens, they're usually doing a disservice to the body of knowledge that we're trying to build.
Okay. Well, I thought that
I like them. Don't get me wrong. I think they're beautiful.
But I think doesn't evolutionary biology teach us that we came out of the? Wouldn't you be contradicting evolutionary biologists with your statement that maybe we didn't come from the Earth?
No, if I do a lot of studying biology,
I don't,
and the process. I watch immense amounts of documentaries, and I do immense amount of reading on it. And the fact is, we think we understand a lot of things. We have no idea what kick-started life. We don't know what two things came together to make that happen, or multiple things came together, when or how exactly. We have an idea of when, but we don't know exactly how. Therefore, you can say, if you're a Christian or whatever, you can say, it's just a theory. That's true. When it comes to how life started, it is just a theory. What's not just a theory is the evolutionary process. That we understand immensely.
Okay.
I think it was aliens.
What? And that's another one.
Aliens.
Take, if you will.
I like that theory.
Me too.
Yeah. Take, if you will, the idea that one day we might go to another planet, we'll say Mars, which is unlikelier than many others. We might go to another planet, and we might actually take, as a scientific experiment, take microscopic organisms to that planet, and then if we're fortunate enough to live millions of years, see what happens in that new environment where we took things and seeded it, right? A,
maybe
are we gods?
Die off no, by the time not. They evolve into something that could think the way we're thinking. You know, maybe we'll
bite
be gone
your tongue.
By then.
Uh-huh.
We might do it accidentally.
Yeah.
Accidentally is more likely than, right?
Yeah, we're not going to, I don't think that we're going to be around for another 100 years.
So, and the fact that we might do it, he's very, very pessimistic.
Maybe not as biological life forms.
I'm a cynic.
What is it, in another 40, 50 years, they say we're going to be able to download our brain into a computer?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, whether or not our consciousness goes in it, you know, who knows yet, but at least we'll be able to...
At the bare minimum, we can get our information in it. Yeah. And if that happens while I'm alive, I just want to apologize to everybody.
Ha!
Because there's some shit in there they're going to have to wipe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I guess there's bigger skeptics than me. I was just going to say there's no bigger skeptic than me. But I guess there are. Because I do somehow still think that there's too much mystery about information and how we are energy and how we're connected. And, you know...
Religion does what you're doing.
I know.
The God of the
That's why it makes me feel uncomfortable. Don't think it doesn't.
Yeah. Well, there's one thing with... just because science hasn't proven it yet doesn't mean it doesn't exist. But I'm not trying to, you know, back up the whole faith thing and everything else. But I don't know. Just what's the best way of putting it? Like human bodies, we have energy fields. And because we can only see in the certain light spectrum, we can't see it. But now, you know, you point in even the infrared camera at somebody. Now you can see, like, the heat. Wait, infrared
is
heat, right?
That's correct. Infrared is heat. Yeah. So that's energy.
And even I think, like, people talk about auras and whatnot. Like, now unless I've read something incorrect, I think, you know, we can detect various different types of EM radiation off of people, which in theory could be interpreted as an aura. So,
it usually is.
So when it comes to the whole connection and all of us being connected, there might very well be some kind of field that, like, the collective consciousness or some other field that we can't prove yet, but it might exist, but it might not. So that's the thing. Like, we can't go 100% certain that, oh, this exists just because we want it to. But
there just isn't any evidence for it at the moment.
Here's my problem. It's when somebody decides that they're going to tell other people and or charge them money while telling other people that the aura they're seeing means X, Y, and Z with no evidence whatsoever to support those claims.
Right. Yes, I'm 100%, I'm 100% with you on that.
That's where it becomes not only...
Yeah, it's guessing. Or...
Yeah, it's not only unethical, it's dangerous.
Do you guys know about that guy Brocco?
The guy that you stare, the staring guy?
The gazer with a Z.
Brocco the gazer,
You can't have a gazer without gaze.
I saw him. I went to his show.
Really?
Okay, tell us after this.
Yeah, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net and available at the iTunes Store. More after this insufferable disruption. Have you heard of our other award-winning podcast, Ardent Atheist? Well, you have now, so go check it out. Go to www.ardentatheist.com. Don't trust anyone who does acupuncture.
Why?
They're backstabbers.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest. Or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Tim Farley, Jimmy Dore, and Ed Shannon. Thanks for being here, everybody.
So Joe Swam on the Wall gave me the Wikipedia link to his... It's pronounced Bratzo. B-R-A-T-Z-O-H is the pronunciation.
Oh. Bratzo the Gazer.
The Gazer.
So you went to this Gazer.
So, yes. Yeah, so
what'd you have to pay?
So it's $10.
That's not bad.
Not much.
I would do that, maybe.
Well, sure. Here's the deal. He does 10 shows a day.
Oh,
my God.
So, and the reason why...
Of course he does. He has no material.
Because he doesn't do anything.
Yeah. I could do that.
Oh, man. I'm in the wrong business.
No kidding.
We all are.
I can make a lot of money. I'm going to be Brecko the Farter.
I'm going to be the Smiler.
I mean, you're all doing more than you have to.
Yeah.
Because you'd have to be like, God, I don't got any gas today. How am I going to fart?
That's never happened in my life.
Brocco doesn't, because when you go see a faith healer, they have to put on a big show to make you believe it, and people are falling down. Well, what Bratzo figured out is that it's up to you. You're going to believe it whether I put on a show or not.
Yeah.
You already, and they do. And so he doesn't even put on a show. He literally just comes out and stares at people while they play classical music for 15 minutes, and people go fucking crazy.
So listen to this.
Wait. Don't read that yet. Okay. They go crazy?
People cry.
Okay.
People cry and stuff, and they go, and then they give a testimony after he goes, he leaves, and they give a testimony about stuff that happened. And before he comes out, people come out and say that they saw him before and how it changed their life. And then they show a videotape about it, and they show video of him gazing in different areas.
Wow.
It's just him looking. So he has the power of gaze. And so he just looks, right?
I want the power of the gaze.
Well, meet Bruce Valanche, too. And that's it. And so he sells jewelry. He'll sell, by the way, they'll sell a DVD of him gazing at you.
This guy is a genius.
Yeah, he's a genius.
His style is like minimalist.
Yeah, absolutely, and he can play any country because he doesn't speak.
Right.
He just comes out and gazes.
Brilliant.
He's not from him. He's from the Ukraine or something.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, or Croatia. I think he's from Croatia.
Yes, Croatia.
I can't wait till he gets to the country where the particular gaze he uses is offensive. And they just beat the shit out of him.
Wait a minute. Did
you see what that guy said? He was staring at me with that. Yeah.
What has he ever played to a room of blind people?
We found his kryptonite.
That's exactly right.
So listen, people report life changes, healings, and their positive experiences. Supporters say that during the gaze time, they can feel tingling, see energy, or a golden aura.
Did you feel any of it? No.
Experience peace or relief from pain. Mm-hmm. Bratzo does not consider himself a guru. He has no philosophy or dogma, nor does he want anyone to worship him. In addition, he does not call himself a healer or claim to have spiritual power.
Yeah, of course he doesn't.
He doesn't want anyone to worship him, but he does want you to give him money.
Yeah.
And that's his thing, too. He has it fails because I never say anything. I never tell anybody I'm great, but everyone around him says how great he is. Everyone who works for him tells you how great and how
plausible deniability.
Yeah. So he goes, I never say anything.
You know what would be amazing?
Yeah. He's a real scammer, that Brocco.
What would be amazing is if he stepped forward and said, it was all bullshit.
Yeah.
There was I thought of this in my basement with a couple of friends. We thought, let's give it a shot. We're skeptics. Let's see how many suckers there are. Turns out there's billions.
And he's, you know, he's a nice looking man. He's got the long hair and he probably wears the robes and the stuff and looks like...
He could update his look a little. I got to be honest.
No.
Tony Kameen, the comedian, gave me a heads up about Bratzo.
Yeah.
And so he was the one. He got his book and everything. And
what does he write about?
Is it blank?
Is it blank?
It's a blank. Yeah.
No. Someone
eyes on every page.
Just a picture of him on every page.
Just keeps looking at me.
It was written by a rich American woman who thinks he's the greatest, and she wanted to, you know, bring his message to everybody. So she went and hung out with him for 30 days straight, and it was under the rules that you couldn't ask him any questions.
What?
And you couldn't quote him. You can't. Could.
Well, so what would you quote?
It doesn't say.
So she wrote,
what would you quote?
I don't know. But she hung out.
He raised his eyebrow.
She hung out with him.
Yeah.
We've got video.
So she hung out. So the book is all about her experience with him, although she can't quote him. Yeah, and Tony Kameen read that goddamn book. I'm not going to bother. But I wonder what's in it.
He
sells jewelry. He sells pictures.
Let's get Kameen on. Yeah. Well, you come on with him.
Sure,
we'll talk
I love
about
Tony Kameen.
Sure.
He's got pictures. It's you can say he sells the merch is amazing.
Yeah.
And he does 10 shows a day and he gets about 100, maybe 200 people per show.
Yeah.
So he's really raking it in. I saw him at the Ritz-Carlton in Pasadena.
Hmm. I wonder after 10 shows if he's exhausted or exhilarated. Maybe he's rested. Maybe that's his rest.
He could not be more rested. The guy's doing less work than anybody. He's not doing anything. He's not even talking.
I love that Heather has sent me a link to this guy gazing.
Yeah.
Because I can't imagine. Video.
So they play this music, and then it was just pictures of him gazing. Oh, you got it up on the screen.
It was an amazing experience.
It just, there's nothing that can compare. Within 10 seconds, I saw him shapeshift.
They get a sense of power. They stand taller. They stand, boom, they glow. They have purpose.
Oh, it was just like a shower of golden specks, like a confetti just flowing over my body.
A couple tears came down, and I'm just like, oh, wow. And, you know, I'm not this kind of, I'm thinking to myself, I'm not this kind of guy.
Bratzo is someone who actually would never call himself a healer.
Okay, eat some protein, lady.
There you go.
That lady is dying.
So there you go. So that's how they do it. He would never say it, but I'll tell you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I wonder if any of the people talking about him are hired or partners in any way.
I'm sure they all are. Oh, by the way, they also have people. So we were there to make fun of it.
Yeah.
And so were
you heckling?
We were gonna.
You call that a stare?
I'll give you a stare.
And I was going to go up. Yeah. They asked you to give, you know, your testimony before. And I was going to do the whole thing. And then, but we sat down, and first of all, they have watchers, people who are just watching for people like me.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll get, and yep. I knew it was the first time I did anything, I was fucking out.
Take you right out.
But there was a guy, I sat down, there was a guy next to me, and my dog had just passed.
Mm-hmm.
And really was hard for me and my wife.
Did that guy turn into your dead dog? Please tell me that.
He shapeshifted. And he became a transformer.
And then they threw you out when you started petting him.
And I was like, oh, it's Bruce Jenner.
You can't rub that guy.
But there was a guy sitting next to me, and he had a picture of his dog.
Oh, no.
And he wanted his dog to be healed. His dog was sick. And I was like, I'm not going to fuck
this. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's
I'm not
exactly
going to do
right.
this to yeah. this guy. And yeah. I did it. I couldn't. I felt bad.
Yeah. If you had a heart in your chest, yeah. you would have stared at the guy and helped out. Let me give you
dog.
A double gaze. Let's all gaze at the guy that needs the dog. All right.
I haven't double gazed since college.
Well, give me a call. All right. Here's the thing that I think is going on with Bratzo.
Bratzo.
Okay.
It's spelled Bracco.
Yeah. Or one
no,
C, I think. It's one C.
Bracco.
Oh, one C.
According
sorry.
To Wikipedia.
No, that's right. You're correct. Yeah.
So here's what I think's going on. I'm probably going to, I'm sure I'm going to butcher this, but Penn, I was in Vegas recently, and Penn got to talking about a study or an experiment, maybe you know a little about this, Tim, I don't know, where they put two people in a room together,
oh yeah,
face to face, and had them just stare into each other's eyes for a specific amount of time, and it was significant, 20-ish minutes or
uh-huh.
more.
Okay.
And so they made them look at each other for a long time. Then they had a set of things that they were to say to each other that were highly intimate afterwards.
Hmm.
And these people were falling in love.
Oh,
what?
Yeah.
They were
yeah,
falling
I heard
in
about
love.
That. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Yeah.
What?
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Huge numbers of
yeah.
of people just falling in love with
just
one another.
Just by staring.
And asking and responding to highly intimate questions.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So they're not pairing them up on purpose. It was apparently
random.
Scientific. Yeah, it was very scientific in that sense. And people were falling in love. And I think that this guy is cashing in on that phenomenon. That's what I think is
oh,
going on.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah,
because yeah. when you fall in love, all kinds of chemicals run through your body.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's going on. When you're just staring for long periods of time into the eyes of somebody, regardless of the distance from the stage to the audience member, you're gazing into this guy's eyes with high emotional expectations.
Right.
And so, of course, they're feeling tingly. I mean, when you walked in, Jimmy, my entire body tingled. So that's what I think is underway here. I think that's what this guy is taking advantage of.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense.
Well, that does make sense. Yeah.
So when it comes to earlier, Ed, we were talking before we started the show, we were talking, I asked you what you thought of psychics, and we'll just ask, I'll ask you again, what do you think psychics are doing something? Are they accurate to their claims? What do you think?
Well, as you put it, like a lot of the time, if they're out for money, most likely not. But is it possible for certain humans to do things beyond the realm of other humans? Yes, but as to how much, who knows? And the thing I brought up earlier is the from this point on, once we can get into like hacking our own genetic codes, we might be able to create it if it doesn't exist already.
Well, when you say the phrase "who knows," I immediately think science can tell us these things.
Sure.
Yeah.
We can put all of these claims to scientific tests, and we can figure out what it is that's really going on, you know?
Yeah.
There are tests that we could put this gaze guy up against and figure out what physiological things are occurring that are causing people to have these experiences, you know?
Yeah.
So the who knows is anybody who's willing to put their claims to scientific scrutiny.
No, and the theory you came up with makes a hell of a lot of sense.
Yeah.
The eye contact thing and everything.
I think there's always really good scientific explanations for the questions, the gaps that we're talking about.
Yeah.
And I want to talk more about whether we think that psychics can read minds in the future. In other words, can we develop that ability? Because you were alluding to that, you know? So we'll talk about that. How are we on time? We have another break.
Yes.
All right, let's do another break here. You're listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net and available at the iTunes Store. More after this intolerable intermission. And now, a special announcement.
This is a big super shout out to some of our listeners. Okay, here we go.
Is it a lot?
Perry Diliola.
God, we've never figured out how to read that.
Will, Sixball, Kyle Delaney, Grave Apologist, Carl Barrett, Friar Lance, Christopher Otazo, Mom.
Hi Mom.
Von Prague gave me VD. Palin's Grilled Cheese Vagina, Anal Chicken, Steamed Vagina, Bleached Anus, Head Sewed Backwards, and Joe Swam. These were some of the names of the people hanging out in the Skeptic Tank during the last show. Thanks for being there, everybody.
Those names are so great. Do you put them in that order for comedic effect?
No, because that's how Joe gives them to me.
And now back to Skeptically Yours, where thinking is free. We're talking with Tim Farley, Jimmy Dore, and Ed Shannon. Again, thank you for being here. All right.
Those breaks are entertaining.
I like that. Those are the folks on the wall. They just change their names up until it's hilarious. Listen, what the future holds with regard to being able to communicate with each other telepathically, I think that the most logical thing is that we will develop, you know, a helmet or a device that we can put in our head.
Technology.
Chip. Technology, right. Chip in our head, maybe.
Put a chip in your head.
That's the next step after we get the helmet thing. It always starts out big and then it goes smaller. That can actually interpret what we're thinking and then, theoretically, through Bluetooth or Wi-Fi or whatever at the time,
yes,
send it to someone else, and you'll be able to do that. But I hope to hell that it's password protected. That's
oh
what
my
I
God.
I thought I was psychic. Turned out I just had a good Bluetooth.
Kyle Delaney on the wall says it's pronounced Paridlalia. Like,
well, I'm glad it cleared.
Paridlalia.
Yeah. You know what pareidolia is.
Yep.
That's what your teeth.
No.
It's two dolias.
It is a couple of
dolias.
Pareidolia is the effect of seeing something that looks familiar because it's got shapes that you can relate to something else.
That's why we see faces in things.
On the moon.
Exactly.
Yeah. When you look on the moon, you see that helmet, that face on the moon. When they got really close to it and took better pictures, it melts away from being a face.
When I was a kid, I was a lonely, only child. And in the bathroom, we had this beautiful, striped, kind of flowered wallpaper. And all the different flowers were unique.
Yeah.
So I would sit in the bathroom, and I'd be bored, and I would look at the flowers, and I'd pick out all the faces in the flowers because right. there was nothing else for me to do. I had a very sad life.
Oh, well, you're making up for it now.
Yeah, you are.
So, yeah, working hard.
So I was telling you, I don't know if I said this before the break, but I've been listening to this guy, Ram Dass. He used to work with Timothy Leary.
Yeah.
And so I was listening. He wrote that book called Be Here Now, which was a big bestseller in the early 70s. And so he took mushrooms, and he realized that even though he was this psychologist at Harvard and he had 20 assistants and 2 secretaries and on 10 boards, he didn't know anything. That's how he put it. He goes, I didn't know.
Yeah.
And so he went on a journey after he took mushrooms. He realized that he really didn't know and that he wanted to go find someone who did know. So he takes this journey and he ends up in Nepal, I guess. And he meets this guru guy, and the way this guy's life started, what he was 17 years old, and he just became awake. He didn't have to go through any bullshit. And so he just became enlightened, like Buddha. And so when he goes to meet him, this guy, and it was all happenstance, he says to him, Ram Dass talks about how the night before he had this vision, he thought about his mother. He looked at the moon, he thought about his mother. His mother died of a spleen bursting. So he goes to see this guy. And the guy says to him, "So you brought you came up in a Range Rover," and he goes, "Yeah, I did." And the guru says, "Will you give it to me?"
What?
And Ram Dass says, "Boy, I've had holy guys try to take me, but nobody to this fast."
Wow.
So long story short,
cut to the chase.
The guru says to him, "You thought about your mother last night, and she died. Her belly, it was her spleen." So this is according to Ram Dass.
Okay. Yeah.
So I immediately say he's making that up, right? Is he making? But then why would he? His whole life is about not making shit
this
up.
This is hearsay.
And he lost his whole world. I mean, he had everything.
Yeah.
And he was rich, and he was, you know, he could have done anything he wanted. His mom was proud of him, like he likes to say. Right. And then he's doing this anyway because he had to. Mm-hmm. So why would he make that up?
What typically happens with these stories is people forget other details, right? There was probably a long conversation, and he remembers that bit where the guy said about his mother and is leaving out a bunch of other stuff that was being said.
Okay. And the guy who got the reading, we'll call this a reading, the guy who got the reading will fill in things and then mark those down as hits by the guy doing the reading. Does that make sense?
Oh, okay.
So, if you're really looking for a spiritual experience, you will see the aura if you're really looking for it. Yeah. And you'll do everything you can to backward engineer and support that idea, especially when something happens that seems impossible to you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do know what you're saying.
I've seen it numerous times with my mom. My mom would watch these psychics in Kansas City, the local television station, and she would talk about all these amazing hits. And then when I got together with her on it and we talked over, I think maybe she had a recording. I can't remember, but we went over it together.
Mm-hmm.
And her memory of what she saw, I think just on TV, it didn't jive with what really happened when right. you go back and look at it.
Oh, yeah. Really?
They don't, yeah. We in the sciences, those in the sciences, I'm not in the sciences, those in the sciences, especially this area, understand how the human mind works. When we call up memories, we rewrite them. And then we file them back away, rewritten inaccurately sometimes. Huh. That is a normal, everyday, average American human person experience that is a function of the brain and memory. That's just a fact. We know it. One of the worst things that you can rely on in a court of law is someone's memory and eyewitness. Yep.
I do know I witnessed an accident one time, and there was 4 of us standing there. We all witnessed it. 2 of us thought it was a red car, and 2 of us thought it was a white car.
Right.
Sure.
No shit. I was like, are you out of your fucking mind? It was 2 feet in front of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the weirdest experience. I was right, by the way. The 2 other guys were wrong.
So when you...
Well, that's a good explanation.
When you understand those fundamentals of human processing, then you start to look at the world a little more clearly, in my opinion, a little more evidence-based. You start to move aside those things that sound impossible and exciting as anecdotal, where they belong, Right. And you put them on the shelf with faulty memory, dishonest people, and all kinds of other things. That guy could be lying. But he could have been fooled, too.
You know, I've been in conversations where with people who I've asked, we talked about ghosts and belief in ghosts, and they would tell me these outrageous stories about, you know, their mom saw this, or their this whole experience where their family went through this. They weren't necessarily there, but they are relaying what someone said to them, and then probably making up some more there too.
Yeah, because it's that person's memory, and then this new person's memory recounting the other person's memory.
Telephone game.
So, I mean, and it just keeps it just goes down the line like that. And you ever have an argument with someone? Like a big argument with someone.
I'm married.
You recall it and you both say, it didn't go down.
Inside
the
same. Oh my God. You just said this.
Yes.
No, I didn't.
Yes.
You just fucking said it.
That happened to me last week, even.
I'm just repeating it back to you.
Yeah. So I wish couples would agree to record arguments.
No kidding.
I really wish.
Did you see that the show Black Mirror?
No.
It's like a Twilight Zone for like
I hear it's very popular.
Internet era, and there's an episode where everyone has a chip in their head.
Oh, we did see that one.
Yeah, we watched the first season. Oh, yeah.
And the guy starts
replaying
his conversations and it ruins his life.
He was obsessed. He was very obsessed with going back over the conversations.
Maybe when they put body cams on policemen, it'll ruin their lives.
Exactly.
I hope so. I fucking hope so.
Some of them definitely need it.
Some of them certainly do. I think it's more than just some of them. But so what happens to you guys when you take mushrooms?
Well,
all of us?
Let's find out.
I would love to know.
Heather, go to the freezer. The first joke I ever wrote about being on mushrooms. I wrote a series of jokes that happened the first time I ever took them. One of the first jokes was, I remember having an argument with Jesus about his existence. That was one of the first jokes I wrote. The other one was, and this happened to me. This blew my mind. I love this story. I was watching MTV as I was kind of coming down. Mushrooms can be confusing.
It's a great story.
In the third or fourth hour, you think you're coming down.
Right.
You're not. Mm-hmm. You fooled yourself. You've just kind of normalized that state is what's really going on. I'm watching MTV. I'm by myself at this point. My friend's gone on home. And I'm watching MTV, and I'm watching a music video. I don't remember the artist. I don't remember the song. I just remember that I was watching it, and it was really funky, and the person singing turned into Satan, and horns grew out of his head. And I fucking turned the TV off. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what the why did I have that experience? And then weeks later, I'm watching MTV, and that fucking video comes on, and horns grew out of his head. And I'm like, oh, I just was watching TV. So that was one.
Don't take mushrooms and watch TV. Now they got a talking horse every 5 seconds.
Yeah, no, right?
Commercial, right?
Talking to the girl.
Yeah, she's pretty.
Yeah.
They can use sex to sell insurance.
I know.
Is that what they're selling?
Well, they're saying that you can't get good insurance unless you're horse hung.
Yeah.
I think that's the message they're sending.
Or your horse hung.
Or your
anyway.
Horse hung. So, for me, living life with only accepting things as fact that are evidence-based is the safest, most intellectually honest, and most fulfilling way to live my life. I'm not missing out on anything, as people like to claim, you know, mm-hmm. psychics. Well, you're completely missing out on this other part of life. What, the part where I give you money? Yeah.
So, but there's Joseph Campbell and the Power of Myth.
Yeah.
Like, that's a different thing than psychics, right?
I don't know the book.
Okay, so he talks about how, very much like Carl Jung talked about, our need for mythology and religion, and that comes from our subconscious, and he does comparative religion, right? So he takes, 2,000 years ago, they had the same kind of death and rebirth myth as they did, 2,000 miles away, and so how they never met, how could they have the same myths? Mm-hmm. So what the people like Jung and Joseph Campbell are saying is that we have a need for this, and that it comes from our collective unconscious, that we have a collective unconscious. Do you believe we have a collective unconscious?
No.
What is an unconscious that is collective?
So this is what they posited, right?
But if you're unconscious, you're unconscious.
But we do have an unconscious, right? So Freud, that's his big, he was the one who discovered that, and that was his big contribution, yeah. is that we have an unconscious.
Right.
And then, you know, Carl Jung took it, you know, further, and I think we, you know, they've done studies, right? Look, maybe you could Google this, where they teach a skill to a monkey on an island.
Yeah.
And then monkeys on another island also, after a while, learn that skill, even though they had no crossover. Is that true? I don't know.
No, that's a false. That's a falsehood. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That would be incredible.
I know, right?
And that's not true.
That's not true.
I will tell you this. Here, first of all, you can posit anything. I posited a turd in the toilet before the show, but it doesn't mean that it's accurate. What's going on there?
Oh, it's in there.
What?
Yeah. It exists.
I think I just undermined my argument.
I think you did.
The point is the connection, the presumption that because two things happened at different places without any communication between them whatsoever indicates this other unmeasurable thing.
Right.
Right?
A mystery.
Yeah, this other mystery indicates that that's true.
Right.
Here's what that's lacking. Evidence. See, those two things happening at the same time, those don't prove this thing here. They definitely prove something. They definitely suggest something, but what was the guy's name that came up with it?
Jung
and the other guy.
Jung and Joseph Campbell.
Campbell.
They talk about this.
Where Campbell takes that evidence and tries to connect these ideas can't be proven. Okay, the claim that you teach a monkey how to use this tool here and then it starts happening over there, that's
right.
Not true. It's just not true. I challenge you to show me that.
No, you know what? I should have looked this up before I came.
It's okay.
But you don't believe in the collective unconscious?
I believe you mean subconscious, or...
Because unconscious and subconscious.
I guess we could interchange those terms for this.
Well, unconscious
I don't know.
Means
I'm not,
they're different. Definitely.
I'm not a doctor, so I don't know. Yeah. Is there a difference?
Well, if you're unconscious, you're just not aware or awake.
But they do influence us. They come to us in dreams, and in our mythology, they get expressed through our mythology.
Well, the suggestion is that over the air, people are communicating ideas to each other unbeknownst to them. That's basically the idea, right?
Or that we have this,
because
we all have this central origin. These are all things that are in all of us.
Let me explain what I think is going on.
Wait, before you go.
Yeah.
I just want to let you know that there's someone on the wall named Scissoring Sylvia Brown with actual scissors.
Nice.
With actual scissors.
With actual scissors.
Oh,
all right.
Actual, no.
All right. I'm going to explain this to you. Okay. I'm going to help you understand exactly what's going on.
I bring good
questions.
Are
you ready?
Though, right?
Are you ready?
Yes.
You do. That's why I love having you here.
Okay, good.
Okay. After the break. That's it for the free version of episode 88. Another show that went off without a hitch. We missed you, Hitch. There you go. We will be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers very soon. Very soon. If you would like to hear the full 90-minute show, please go to skepticallyyours.net/premium and subscribe. I want to thank our guests, Tim Farley, Jimmy Dore, and Ed Shannon. I also want to thank my co-host, Heather Henderson, and our camera switcher, Ryan Magnan. Tune in next week when our guests will be...
on this show.
And we'll be talking about...
skeptic stuff.
That's the same thing we talk about every week.
Our theme music, courtesy of the sound editor of the Aristocrats, Eric Wilson, and special thanks to our Wall of Reason moderator, Joseph Alternative Medicine Swam, and our digital publicist and web guru, Cameron Herbal Remedy Winters.
Where can people find you, Ed? Online.
Oh,
Twitter?
You
don't have a Twitter.
We don't have a Twitter.
Actually, I guess... check out my most recent project, Beasties and Bygones, on Kickstarter. We have it's successful, but we have a pre-order page.
Jimmy Dore, where can people find you?
JimmyDoreComedy.com.
See how that works? You gotta be ready, Ed. Where can people find you, Tim?
Krelnik, KRELNIK, on Twitter.
There you go. Look them up, folks. You've been listening to Skeptically Yours on SkepticallyYours.net. I'm your host, Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson.
And we are Skeptically Yours. Skeptically Yours is a product of an ever-expanding universe.
Krelnik.